It's a Daily Talk Show episode 512.
Brought to you on a street corner in Venice, California.
With Matt and Nat.
Matt and Nat are here.
How are we,
in
guys?
In the house.
What's going on,
good.
Guys?
We're sugared up.
I'm so sugared up. I feel a bit ill because we just got ice creams from a really hip place that you wait in line for a long time. The girl who's serving, she was not that friendly. Did you tip?
You know what? She was fiery, though. Like, she was quick. I don't know. Did you see her, like, simultaneously cleaning and scooping at the same time?
Well, she took our order and she said, because, Nat, you said you can have as many flavors. You can taste test the ice cream here. And she said, what do you want? And you guys yelled out three. I said one.
Well, Matt asked for a double. He said, I'll get two samples of the Thanksgiving turkey.
I just wanted to be sure.
She forgot my sample, which is why.
Oh, she did.
But now I'm feeling sick. Anyway, it's all good.
A little bit salty from it.
It's all good. We just went to a vegan forward restaurant.
Mm. Vegan forward, yes.
What is this vegan forwardness?
So, look, there's vegan friendly. I like to say sometimes vegans need a little bit more than friendliness in their life. We know they have a hard time.
Sure.
So, you know, what this is it's in between a vegan friendly and a purely vegan restaurant. It's vegan forward. Now, in saying that, I would say it's maybe vegetarian friendly, but vegan forward.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Okay.
We're getting technical.
Have you ever done veggie?
I think vegetarian forward means that they also have meat, though. And that place, they didn't have any meat.
No, because it's
veggie forward with a side of meat.
Vegan forward, vegetarian friendly. Meat eaters, be gone.
Be gone. Yeah.
Does vegan forward mean that you get cheese or no cheese?
Well, there was mac and cheese there, so...
Was it real cheese, though?
That's why I'm just suspect of everything.
Yeah.
I had a burger. Yeah. It wasn't real meat.
Yeah.
But it was an impossible burger, so I'm glad I got to try it.
Impossible to enjoy.
What do you guys... Hang on, wait, Nat, you said something really funny. Yeah. You said...
I just said I don't go impossible. I just go possible.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to be an overachiever. I'm just trying to make shit happen.
What have you ever cooked fake meat at home?
No,
I don't think so. We've actually made veggie patties, but not fake meat.
Well,
is there a difference?
I have a bit of a problem with fake meat that goes by the name of Satan.
Is that a thing?
It's like Satan or something.
Is that 97
paparazzi? I think vegans were probably worried about, like, you know, the closest in pronunciation to Satan, so they probably like tried to Europe-fy it. Satan.
If you're watching this, we are in a car park and we're using our hire car's headlights to project the light.
Mm-hmm. And the main reason we're doing that is because we want to make sure we use the full gas of tank, tank of gas, before we go to the airport.
From a filmmaker perspective, Matt, does this get your tick of approval or is this absolute garbage?
No, I mean, I wouldn't say garbage. I would just say different from what I would do. I'm a perfectionist, and I think that's a problem that I have. And I think what I admire about you guys is that you don't care how any of your stuff looks.
I joke.
Insulting. You're officially married now? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Where's your ring, Matt?
Oh, I don't. I know because we got married in a drive-through wedding in Vegas. Uh-huh. And we told ourselves that we were not going to tell anybody about it because it was just for the paperwork.
There was a vlog camera.
You can't say that yet.
It's
out there now. I mean, you got the visa.
No, I don't.
We also love each other. Like, we were doing it because we love each other, but we wanted to get ahead of the game and get the paperwork.
30 days of getting a visa.
Yeah. So then we did that, but then, like, the whole idea was, like, we weren't going to really tell anybody about it until we actually had our official wedding with all of our family there. And then, like, the first day, Nat goes into work and just tells every coworker because she just can't hold on to a good story.
I actually basically had a countdown happening in my office to days counting down to getting married in Vegas, and I just didn't tell you that I had this happening. I skipped out of the office on Friday, and I was like, da-na-na-na.
Can you run us through the drive-through marriage? Like, what is it exactly that?
Can you supersize me?
Can I upgrade this?
Very similar. So basically, if you have been through a McDonald's drive-thru, that's it. You know, even the kooky character who sticks his head out the window, I feel like he must have worked in a McDonald's.
Were you actually in a car? Do you drive through it?
Here's the funniest thing, and a part of the story that I've never told before, because it kind of takes away some of the romanticism, I would say, is that...
What's not romantic about this drive-thru wedding?
He's about to drop an African proverb.
You have to park the car, get out of the car, go inside.
It's not a drive-thru.
Organize the whole deal. Give them the paperwork. Get outside. Go back to the car. Drive through.
So the drive-thru is really
it's a gimmick.
Just it's a gimmick.
Yeah.
It's a gimmick. Full gimmick.
But yeah, then, so you guys are getting married in a secret location, I won't say. Overseas, though.
Italy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What's the zip code of it?
They don't count. So, like, if you get married in Bali, which a lot of Australians do, you don't actually get married in Bali.
Yeah.
You just have a party. So you're getting a party.
It's
having
just
a party.
Yeah, because we're already married.
And most people do that. They go and get married beforehand, so you don't have to deal with the shitty paperwork in Italy. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Easy.
Did you get to pick, like, an Elvis impersonator or anything like that?
Yeah, but we were trying to go real budget with it if you hadn't grasped the concept.
Elvis was an extra $100.
So the reason we went out to Vegas, too, was because I didn't want to take a day off work because the LA courthouse is only open Monday to Friday, and I was like, this is not worth me taking a day off work. We'll go on the weekend to Vegas.
Yeah. Took you one.
Hold for helicopter. Visa police.
Yeah. I told you.
And so 3 hours drive? Or how long did it take
about
to
like
Vegas?
About 4.5. Mm. 5 hours drive out to Vegas.
Did you get dressed up?
We got right there, actually. No, we didn't get dressed up. Dude, here's the funniest thing. Like,
what do you mean? This is the first time Matt's ever worn something other than the T-shirt. He's repping a Daily Talk Show. Daily Talk Show.
Meow, meow, meow. We'll do a snippet of that. Mr. 97 for Instagram.
Yeah. Tag, hashtag minimalism. Every other thing.
Hashtag one sweater. No, but it was. It was a pretty long day because it took a while. They wouldn't let her take my last name because I had no identification with the apostrophe in my name.
Really?
Yeah, only my birth certificate has the apostrophe.
So I could change my name to Natalie Davella, but I couldn't be legally Davella.
I have footage of this, and I was saying, just take Davella. I was like, forget about the apostrophe. Like, you can add it later. Yeah. And then she's like, I'm not going to change my last name to nobody else's last name that I know.
I was like, this isn't your name. Like, I was like, you can't.
And so are you going to do, like, do you have to wait now? Or what's
No, I think now she's just going to keep pitting.
It just feels easier to just stick to pitting, doesn't it?
Did you tip? Like, do you tip?
We did tip.
The guy was pretty good. He was pretty okay. Here's like the most disappointing part for me.
Do they say for here or to go, or is it all for here?
So we pull up to the drive-thru, and then they ask us, like, he's like, do you guys want to recite your own vows? Mm-hmm. And we look at each other and we're like, that would be funny. Yeah, right. We'll riff, do a little bit of improv, like make some jokes, and then like he's going through this whole thing and he's giving his spiel, and we're like, this guy is like an idiot. Like, this guy doesn't have it together. And then
we weren't even like holding hands. Like, we were just like sitting there almost like mad. If you looked at us, we might have looked mad at
each other. Yeah. And he's like, you guys can like look at each other.
Was the car this on? Is the wrong thing to say for the visa stuff.
And so what's it? So are you actually in just your car?
We're just in the car. Okay. And I've actually got this filmed. I'll have to release it publicly at some point. But then we're just there, and then he's kind of going through the whole thing, and he's like referring to us as husband and wife, and it gets to the point of the vows, and then Natalie decided to go first, right? Because I was a little bit shy, and I was like, "Nat, you go first." She's like, "Fine, yeah, I'll go first."
Who was driving?
I was driving.
Okay,
you weren't driving.
You were.
Oh yeah. And then like she does the vow, she starts doing her vows. She starts fucking crying.
Well, I'm sorry. I love you.
And I'm like,
such a great actor.
I honestly can't tell you how mad I was at that moment because I had literally, I was like, none of this was emotional to me. This was paperwork.
Wow.
I'm not allowed to say that.
This guy's so romantic. I don't know.
I had a drive-thru wedding in Vegas that Britney Spears got married at.
Oh, really? Which one?
It was like the little white chapel.
What sort of other characters were getting their weddings done?
What you would imagine. People looking for a budget wedding.
So in America, growing up in America, is... Because we hear about the weddings, the Vegas stuff. Is it seen as like, it's a bit bogan? Like, is it a bit like choking, funny?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's
we
cheap,
were kind of trying
quick.
To embrace that because we knew we wanted to do a proper party and reception with family, friends. And like, we were trying to save the sentimental value of a wedding. And actually, we were even like, oh, let's not even do vows. Like, let's just get through this and get to the pool, like in and out, done.
Literally, like in and out.
Literally.
That was actually the second stop.
But like, we're still waiting on our fries.
Did you get animal style?
Yeah.
That was later.
Yeah, that was in the bedroom.
No, he did not. We got vegan style.
Oh my god, so that's a hand job.
So, but no, did you tell your family that you were doing it?
Well, I think the most embarrassing part for me is that she has this like crazy, like romantic. Honestly, it's like beautiful. She couldn't have written it any better. These vows, like saying, like, you know, I can't believe I met you. Like, just all these amazing things about me. And then it's like, okay, now it's your turn, Matt. And like, I have been cutting off emotion this whole time. And I'm not good on the spot, and I'm not good at improv. Like, I need to plan this out. Sure. I need to know what I'm going to say.
It's like a script.
This is
a YouTube video. Nightmare.
So then my strategy, right, yeah.
It's like he needs to get into character to pretend he knows
my strategy going into it was, all right, I'm just going to use dramatic pauses to make it look like I'm being emotional. So then I like literally start reciting her own speech back to her, and I'm like, Natalie, from the moment I met you. And then, like, I'm all in my head, I'm like, what the fuck are you going to say next?
And, like, I'm looking deep into his heart, into his soul, and I'm like,
oh my gosh.
He's
crying.
And I'm like, he's going to cry. Like, I see him, like, looking off into the distance. Like, he can't even look at me. And I'm like, oh my gosh, he's emotional.
So it was 3 minutes of me being, like, a robot and, like, saying words every couple of seconds. And then at the end of it, like, the guy's like, you're done? You're done? Okay. And he's like, okay, you know, some of us have a hard time getting our emotions out.
So it turned into sort of like a psychology. Couples therapy.
What makes you cry, Matt? Well, when was the last time you cried?
Oh, yeah.
Breathwork. I just did breathwork.
A
couple days ago.
So what's the deal with breathwork?
Yeah.
Can we trial it right now?
Nat did it before me. And we actually just went on a breathwork retreat. Mm-hmm. There's lots of different types of breath work. My sister's a breath work teacher, and hers is more in like the spiritual healing. And the reason why I wanted to do it is because, not because I'm traumatized, but because like I wanted to push myself outside of my comfort zone and do something that I was totally uncomfortable and against typically. And I did it, and it was like, it was like an oddly emotional, it like changes your state in a way that you wouldn't expect. And it was like high. It was like any other drug I've done.
But it's work. It's not like meditation. It's like physically uncomfortable. But we can do it now.
Yeah, okay, great. Yeah, what do we do?
Yeah, it's a great idea.
We're on a little ledge.
Usually we'd have to lie down.
Okay, I think in terms of safety, obviously we're not going to do a full session. Normally it's like, I guess, anywhere from 10 to 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And in terms of safety, you should always be lying down on the ground.
Okay.
Because you get lightheaded and you could certainly pass out.
But where else are you going to listen to shit?
Well, maybe like, I think we need a clear diaphragm to get a big breath in. Right. And so
I just feel pizza.
Prefacing with the fact that we are
in a car park
and completely inexperienced in breathwork.
Okay,
so please don't.
This is my first time teaching a breathwork class. And this is the perfect time to do it when there's going to be a fight around the corner. From us.
In a car, car park.
So you want to, obviously with your eyes closed, you want to take one breath into your stomach, and you can put your hand over your stomach to kind of feel
through your nose or through your mouth?
Mouth. And breathe very naturally, so your mouth shouldn't be pouting or stretching. So like, and then into your heart, and then out.
Out through your mouth?
Yeah, it's all through your mouth. And your mouth shouldn't be like, contort anything. Mm-hmm. Should just be very relaxed.
Just let it out. Like,
Is the nose for anything?
Nose for nothing.
No. Forget your nose.
Yeah, never, like within breath work, you never use your nose.
You have no nose.
Oh, that's good.
I have no nose.
I actually like that because
peg your nose.
You hear like, okay, breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth. That shit fucks with me because I end up being
my
like, oh no, I'm doing
like, yeah. All over the place.
It's not good.
And you're sniffling and
cool. Yeah, right.
So it's like two breaths in, one breath out. So it's like,
that's quick, I think.
Okay, we'll follow you.
How long do you go for?
40 minutes.
No way.
I mean, I
feel a bit lightheaded.
Yeah. You go up to about 30 minutes. It is absolutely exhausting. And
I feel tingly.
You're already, right?
I feel
more than what I felt with the edibles, to be honest.
Right.
It's had more of an effect.
You got pretty high during that, I heard.
Well, no, so...
people want to know.
Yeah, for people who don't know, we decided that we'll try edibles. So in California, how long has it been legal for?
Beginning of last year, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, because the thing is, I'm not someone, I've never smoked in my life. I've never done drugs in my life. And so this, it felt like it was safe enough based on sort of the whole med men thing and it's all nice and easy. Do you find that the barrier to entry means that more people are potheads that you wouldn't normally assume?
It's hard because, like, I feel like the pothead stereotype has kind of, like, disintegrated a little bit just because it's so normalized.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're right. There's more people, like, experiencing pot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially when they're, like, in cute little gummy bears. Like, what? like, you know, like...
It's like eating a Haribo.
You mean pretzels, too. Yeah, pretzel ones.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But, like, I don't think that there's a... Yeah, there's an association with, like, oh, you don't have your life together, blah, blah, blah.
So
like,
when do you... I'll tell you, though, like, January, when it just became legal recreationally in California.
Only this year? 2019 so it's 2018 January. That's when it
like almost 2 years ago.
Any gronk can have it.
Any gronk down the street. And then we flew home after vacation in New Jersey, and then we get to California, and I'm driving past MedMen, which is a shop that you guys went to, a very popular weed shop. It's like the Apple Store of pot.
We'll do our live read for MedMen in
And you drive past, I drove past it, a line wrapped around the block like crazy. And I think that that was like kind of people's initial, like, it's legal now, so everybody's really into it and wants to go and try it and get weed and like have the experience of it. But I think that for most people that don't smoke weed, they're not going to go out of their way to get it. It's probably still, for most people, just going to be an every once in a while thing. Yeah. I don't think it's probably turned too many people over to, like,
So when do you do it? Like, do you find that it's like, okay, is it like, so I started, I've started drinking, and it's like a red wine on a Friday night. Is something, is it doing edibles? Is it like a Sunday thing?
I feel like it's similar to what you're explaining, but correct me if you disagree. I feel like it's a wellness moment. Like it's your green juice.
Okay,
but, sure. But not in the morning. Yeah. But on the morning, you might have it like anywhere else, maybe on the weekend.
Is this just the CBD, or is this the, like, have you done THC. The THC, which is like the bit that makes
it's
you
the
all
DMT,
funny?
DMT, I think, actually. Is. No, we...
CBC.
I mean, I don't smoke a whole lot. I think it's like whether you like doing it or not. And the difficult thing about marijuana is that you build up a tolerance to it. So I have like smoked frequently in the past, and like when you're smoking every day or maybe like 3 to 5 times a week, you build up a tolerance, but also like it's more enjoyable because you're used to it. But then like if you don't smoke much at all, and if I smoke like once every other month, you just get stoned. Can't handle it, and it's not a great experience.
So it's not good.
I don't love it. I don't smoke much anymore.
Yeah, but do it consistently. It has a different feeling.
Yeah.
Do it every now and then. You get too baked.
I prefer alcohol. I prefer,
Well, it's less intense. So last night,
it's more casual.
We had some gummies, and these things look like little squares, and we only took half, which was 5 milligrams.
Because you were the experienced one, you felt that you needed to sort of be across the whole situation.
Well, I was looking after my babies. I had my boys.
You need one responsible person in the room.
But one shouldn't also be high, right?
Because they say, actually, I was doing some reading, it was like the experienced one. Like there should always be someone who's done it before so they get what the feeling is.
You need to know
how
they're
feeling. You did some reading? You like prepared for this evening?
I read for my boys.
What to expect when you're expecting to be high.
No, but so what you're explaining is like you don't, like there's something about the first time you do it and you're entering into this unusual world that you've never experienced these kind of feelings before, right? And so that can scare you. Like people can get fucking scared shitless from that.
I wasn't scared though, was I?
No, I know.
When your kid turns like 16 or 18, would you let them smoke weed, and or would you do it with them?
I don't know yet. See, I smoked
too early
weed with my mate's dad at like 12, or 13. Yeah, like, well, I would never do that.
Yeah. It seems like a line.
At 18, if it's legal, developed. maybe.
There is something with the development of the brain, though, too, where you should be at a certain age before you do.
Oh, definitely. I mean, with grown men doing edibles, for the first time for me in America.
I've definitely passed my peak. I'm not getting any smarter, so weed is definitely not going to hurt me.
Is there something about, because I leant into it, so we were seeing people today, and I was like telling them about the experience, and I was wondering, is it one of those things where some people could look down at it? Like, do you feel that, is it something people hide, or could you be talk to your employer if you're working somewhere and could just talk about it freely?
So what's interesting is when I have felt like looked down on, it's by other Australians who haven't experienced the culture here that's adapted very quickly to embracing and normalising.
I can imagine. I reckon we'll look back on this and us doing it. We filmed us doing it last night. It was a weird time. Like, this is still a weird thing. This is why we're so fascinated with it. Because in Australia, the stoner mentality, like that, what you're saying, they were
actually actively trying to negate that when the laws switched. And you actually saw MedMen, that store we were talking about before, actually putting up billboards where they cancelled out the word stoner. And they're like, it was like a really like
boner. We got you covered.
Yeah. I don't get it. Do they give you bonus?
No, I don't think so.
No. Maybe they're just trying to put a new twist to it. You know?
It just became loner.
They replaced it with like athlete or doctor, as in like they're trying to like say that like people just smoke weed.
And this doesn't define you.
I think the police are here.
That's all exciting.
Do you think they, oh my God, they're coming to arrest you for the visa.
Oh my God.
I knew it.
And so when it comes to actually buying marijuana, what do you guys, and also like from a joint, like a couple experience, was do you remember the first time you did gummies or something together?
We're not like stoners. We don't smoke a lot of weed.
No.
So like how many times have we gone? Like maybe four?
Four or five. I'm also really inexperienced. Like I would say like weed culture isn't very big in Australia.
But there is like this wall. What does mum say back home?
Oh, she probably doesn't know. Hopefully she doesn't watch this.
I think I did tell her.
Your mom watches anything that I'm in, so she's definitely going
to
see
it. Didn't the ACT just make this legal?
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how that turns.
But in like the MedMen store, like there, I remember you got very excited about the one wall because it's all like
the
different creative, like not the iPad stuff, but it's like different creative like drops and all these gummies. There's like 100 different
variations. It felt like I was
in
like an apothecary. Like it was like, oh, this is so like all this stuff is marketed in a way that
and it's like stress relief. And
they've done a good branding job.
Yeah,
like they've really
on
done.
On top of
the guy who was looking after us, he was like, "Now you need to set your own scene.
Yeah,
Set your scene. You're like you're in control and all that sort of thing." And so, like in the video of us, I was looking at it last night. I was like, "I think I've set the wrong scene," because I was just like a bit like fucking not feeling it.
The way it played out last night for people following along, because we put up some Instagram stories and people are very curious to know what happened. I had it, and within 30 minutes I was laughing my ass off. Josh, on the other hand, stiffened up like a wooden board.
I was just arms crossed, because I was like, okay, they're high, why aren't I high? But there was a funny moment where I sort of where Mr. 97 was like, "No, you are high.
Yeah, you are high."
And then I was like, "Oh!" I got really excited. And I was like, "I don't think I am.
I am different." And so then I started getting like a bit paranoid that you were so transfixed on not being where we were that was your high. I was like, "You're so in that."
Mm.
It's like I was just transfixed on laughing, and then I got transfixed on you being so down about not being where we were.
Did that pull you out of your own high? Because then you're like,
it's all my fault.
No. I don't think Josh is the right one for me to get high with, to be honest. I reckon I pulled him out and he pulled me out. Yeah. And so I'm just like worried that Josh is like, he's actually losing.
Yeah. And so it all ended in a fight where Tommy hid the gummies and I got very upset about it. I went to bed and then I got into FaceTime. I told Bree that I'm actually fucking angry, is what I said. And then Mr. 97 was going into bed too, and then I was just like, man, this just doesn't feel fair. And I felt like a bit sooky, and so I was like,
"Oh no, you definitely
97,
sooky.
Like you need to tell like Tommy that this isn't fair."
And so I'm in bed, and then I hear this on the floorboards walking, and then Mr. 97 opens the door.
What did
and he's
say?
Like, he's like, "Man, Josh is really upset." He said, "He wants more." And I said, "Hang on, just before," I said, "Dude, don't you see that the fact he's so upset about not being where we are.
You're creating a story.
The reason why he's actually really high. And then Ms. 97 was like, oh, dude. It's like, I was so convinced of it, and then I convinced him of that, and he's like, oh, dude.
That's mind blowing. Because why, if you were sober, you'd just be like, hey, dude, I'm not high.
Yeah, man, I'm fucking going to bed. I'm telling you.
That's what I felt like I was doing. But the other thing I was, the other thing that I was trying was, I was like, Tommy was sort of, it felt like Tommy was like, nah, man, you're resisting. So then I was like being silly on purpose to try and put me in that state. So the guys were like, yeah, if you weren't high, why did you put a box, like a LaCroix box on your head?
But I was
like,
I was trying to make you guys, you were laugh. Trying to do selfies with Mason and kiss him.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, there's a line, and Josh usually comes to here, and then there's all these little things. And that's why it's like, it's not always the same for everybody, the feeling.
I can't believe you guys are 30 years old.
You just see me drunk the other day.
I was 30 going on 13.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's the exciting thing. What's one thing that you guys have never done in your life that you'd like to do?
No, not, I wouldn't eat that, but like,
yeah,
I've done mushrooms once. I think I would like to do it again.
What about, so I think you're in the game of trying.
I thought we were talking about drugs.
Junkie.
No, but so you're in the business of trying things. You've got your 30-day challenge videos.
Yeah.
Is there something there, like the ayahuasca thing, which, while we're still on the drug scene, I don't think Josh was pushing for more drug talk.
No, it's fine. But ayahuasca, it seems a bit like...
trendy.
Like it's also like, apparently you throw up a lot, and it seems like a really uncomfortable experience.
Your ayahuasca is just having dairy. That'll give you a similar experience. Euphoria so leading true. To shitting yourself.
Yeah, they should have a lactaid for that drug.
What is
that
drug?
For ayahuasca, a lactaid for it. Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I like the idea of trying new things in like a safe environment, in a safe way, especially when it comes to something like drugs.
For content, though, is that the filter? I'll only do it if it's for
content.
For
absolutely.
Me, YouTube.
Yeah. No, that's not true. But however, if it's a 30-day challenge,
Patreon.
Yes.
Patreon exclusive.
Yeah, Patreon exclusive.
Yeah. So when Tommy proposed to his now wife Amy, he did a video, and he even ADR'd, so, which is basically like he voiceovered the bit where he proposed because the audio wasn't very clear.
What does ADR stand for, Mr. Filmmaker?
Do you know what ADR is?
If the three of us...
I don't know.
Something dialogue replacement.
Audio dialogue replacement. If you were going to look up online, like, fucking idiots, that's not it.
So literally, Tommy got Amy to do a, like, record into his phone of her going,
yes.
Which is brilliant.
I wouldn't have done it. Josh, I'm glad I listened to it.
Yeah, it just lives the beautiful.
But then when you watch it, do you just feel like dirty? You're like, I'm a phony. Like, how do you look back on that and be like, mate, yeah, that was the moment?
I've got a conscience.
Did she manufacture tears on the spot?
No, it was the, she, I think the reason, so
Tommy had
an emotional level in any direction, happy or sad, she wasn't happy to do it. And so I got, it was the first one, and it was on the iPhone because I was like, I need this to be a bit shit. And then I said, just say it, come on, once. And I said, will you marry me? She said, yes. And it was the first take.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
My wife's amazing. Honestly, you need to send me that after this because I need to see that.
Well, it needs more views.
When
so
are you
I'll
thinking too much about content, Matt? Does Nat ever catch you out?
Well, that's funny because even the wedding thing was something that I asked Nat where, and that's not really, it wasn't at all for public content. I didn't care about it. But like what I did was shoot the video.
For Patreon.
Yeah. What I did was shoot the video of the proposal to have that. And then after I did it, I was like, can we like fake that again? But then I'll like do it for a photo because I want a high quality raw photo that I can edit of it. And then she's like, I don't know. That seems weird.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, no, that was a bad idea. That was a stupid idea. So we didn't do it. In terms of like the general content that we make, I don't know.
You're thinking about your work and your filming, I would say 90% of the time.
In terms of our life?
Yes.
Yeah, it's like a, you know, it's like,
what's
a
the other 10%?
Like,
what's he doing in that other 10%? When is the other 10%?
Happy endings. If you haven't watched episode
509.
So, but when is the 10% that Matt isn't thinking about film or filmmaking? Or his content?
No, I don't think I think about it that much. We do talk about it quite a bit, though.
Yeah.
What's your love languages, do you think?
Oh.
Content.
I was going to say hand jobs. wait, what's my love language? Your is time, right? What, quality time?
Quality time and acts of service.
Yeah. Liking and subscribing. I know.
I think I'm physical affection and maybe gifts.
Oh, no. What is it like?
Gifts.
Compliments?
Definitely
isn't compliments
gifts.
One?
Gifts or
compliments?
Animated gifts?
Or what is it? Yeah.
Jewelry. Diamonds.
Yeah. Yeah, so what's the deal with rings? So we were talking to someone the other day about this. When it comes to engagement rings, I've done all the... Bree and I have been together for 12 years. Haven't proposed yet. But I, in the early days, was always wigging out by this idea of buying the ring and the expectation around buying the ring. Did you feel the pressure, Matt?
Yeah, I was stressed out about it. I wouldn't also, like, if Nat didn't want a ring or she was okay with... like getting like a fake ring. I think I would have done that, but she wanted a ring, and then
can you blame her?
Can you blame her? No. So it's like I mean I don't know. I
he sounds really battered down. By
so how did you go about it?
What's the deal?
She gave me a Pinterest board of all the kind of rings that she wanted and she was interested in, and then I kind of actually what happened was I browsed through a bunch of them, and then I found one that I thought, like, I know nothing about diamonds. I know nothing about jewelry. Mm-hmm. And then I got the diamond, and then they sent it from New York here. And then I look at it, and I'm like, yeah, that's like really pretty. But I'm like, but it looks like it's like cracked.
Oh,
and
no.
It was like one of the, but it wasn't like, that's how it was on the website. I just didn't realize it.
It was like an opalized diamond. So it was kind of cloudy and like that had that opaly
effect.
It was
cloudy.
And you liked that?
No. That didn't really turn up in the photo that I pinned. Yeah. So
So then I was like, so I got it, and then I held on to it for like 3 months.
Oh no.
Yeah, it was well past the time I could return it. And then I'm like looking at it, and then I'm like probably 3 weeks away from proposing, and I'm like, I just had this like deep sinking feeling in my gut where I'm like, she's gonna hate this ring.
Oh, no.
I was like, this ring is terrible. Like, I need to return it or something. So then I'm like freaking out, and I go back to the website that I bought it on, and I'm just like browsing and looking for other rings. And then
was it wish.com?
No, it actually is the other sponsor for this channel, Everett.com.
They're Venice based now, actually.
They are, but they're like, she was amazing, and it's like ethically sourced diamonds. And
so did you
really pretty
exchange it and get a new one?
So what happened was, like, I emailed her frantically, and like, I was like, oh my God, like, I think that my fiance is going to hate this ring. I didn't say it like that because, like, they still made the ring. But I'm like, I think I made a mistake. I want to actually exchange this ring for another one. And the other one happened to be a little bit more expensive. So I think she was totally okay with it.
Okay, great.
But then I had to ship it back. Oh. And when I shipped it back, I asked to get insurance at the UPS store, or not the UPS store, the postal store. Yeah. And they said that they don't insure jewelry.
Oh, no.
And I shipped it anyway. And the guy knew the exact value of it because I told him what it was. I was trying to ship it. And then I was like, oh, my God.
No.
And it happened to make its way there. But I was like, there's nothing I could do.
Did you actually, because you see on the websites, they say needs to be two months of your salary or some bullshit like that. Did you enter into any of that?
No, it wasn't.
Your freelance salary?
Yeah. What are we talking here? I mean, at the time, I don't think I was making any money at all.
Perfect.
Yeah, you were just losing money.
Yeah, exactly. So it was like negative. But no, I think that's total BS. 100%. Like, who the fuck made that up? The diamond company?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I saw it on Yahoo Answers.
Yeah.
It's only the best.
No, but I mean... I didn't really care about it that much. For me personally, too, like, I was okay with spending a little bit more than I would typically, because it's literally the only piece of jewelry I've ever bought, Natalie, and will be the only piece of jewelry I ever buy.
Let's not say that too quickly.
Yeah.
Matt told a story on this podcast the other day that when he first started doing his thing, his YouTube thing, committing to the year or year and a half, that you were very supportive, later to find out you didn't really know what he was up to.
And you were maybe panicking.
Yeah. And so fast forward 2 million plus subscribers.
What have you got to say?
And a nice big ring.
Well, what was funny was
such a top
you're
dog.
In debt. You're in debt, right?
You're a top dog.
The funny thing about that was you didn't even put a question in there. You were just like, I just want to let you know you're wrong.
No, but what is that? I mean, it's easier to look back and say, yeah, you did it now, but what's that been like for you, that journey?
Yeah, that's really interesting because, okay, when he first was like, oh, I'm going to quit client work, I mean, I didn't really, to be honest, know exactly what Matt did. I was like, oh, he films.
You're married to a filmmaker when your wife says he's going to quit client work.
Yeah. I don't know what that means.
You had clients?
Yeah. But I just came back from work one day and he had all these foam panels up, like, all over our apartment. Mm. And I'm like, what the fuck's going on here? And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, hey, what's happening? And he was like, oh, I'm going to start a podcast. And, like, internally, I was like, what the fuck? Like, his primary skill is filming. He's going to ditch that and go for an audio-only format, which he's never done before. But I couldn't say that. Yeah, and so I was obviously like, oh, yeah, that's great. Like, you should totally experiment with that. Like, fill it out. Like, blah, blah, whatever. Went to work literally every day for the next 6 months, just paying out Matt hard to my workmates. And I was like, it was like almost like a stand-up bit. Like, I was like, and then he put foam bits on the wall.
It really was a visa job. Like,
Yeah. And it wasn't until, I would even say, like 6 months ago, where Matt was like, because currently I'm relying on Matt a lot right now. To encourage me on my next steps. And Matt was like, oh, you were a huge help for me in like getting off the ground. And I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, well, you encouraged me so much. And I was like, confession. I was faking it.
Well, here's the thing. What I will say, and we actually did talk about this, it kind of a joke, kind of not. And I think that's kind of like partly our relationship, that everything is layered in like a fine layer of
self-deprecation.
Of joking and self-deprecation and making fun of each other and paying each other out.
It's why you're married to an Aussie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But then, for it.
Like, when it comes down to it, like, 100% she genuinely supported me, and 100% she, like, pushed me and encouraged me to do it. She didn't understand what it meant or if it would work out, but she knew that if I didn't do it, because I'd been talking about it so much, that I would have regretted it for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a true saying, fake it until your partner makes it.
And then you supported. Can fake it.
That's so great.
With the podcasting thing, did you learn that... audio only wasn't actually the thing?
I only did audio only for the first... Well, I did like 3 or 4 podcast recordings that I never released because I intended to like... I was going to do like a Freakonomics type edit where I do an interview and then I turn it into a story and then I just realized that was like way too much work for then what I wanted to do. So I did like 3 or 4 of those and then I just scrapped them and then I probably did... And then, like, that's when I started to just do... I actually, from episode 1, I did do video, but it was, like, every couple I would skip and just do audio. But the main intention from the beginning was to do audio. But then I was thinking, like, how can I bring in my own unique perspective, and what do I have, what skill set do I have that maybe other podcasters don't? And it's like, well, I'm a filmmaker, so I brought it into everything I do.
Why do you think it's worked for Matt?
Oh, that's a good question. I think Matt is equal parts creative as he is to business. So, like, he's obviously very creative, but he knows how to structure his work, how to strategize his work. And, like, I feel like your business sense has... I think really impressed me coming from a business world and like working in corporate. It's quite surprising that you haven't come from that world because I feel like you understand it much better than I do.
I did run my business for 8 years. I was a freelancer. I mean, I was a freelancer, but I had a company.
But the thing is, I could imagine someone as creative as you, they might not have the other bit because a lot of creatives are loose units when it comes to their business or accounts. Or
and I also think, I forgot to say this, I also think it's because Matt's made a business out of his passion and his hobby. And I think a lot of people say that and it's hard, but like Matt can't sleep unless he's been able to like film every idea. Like he gets really, really excited. When we go traveling, like all he does is just miss work. Like, when I go traveling, I'm like, oh my God, I'm counting down the days that I have to go back to work. Yeah. Whilst he's like, oh, I can't wait to get back.
Yeah, there's a Seth Godin quote where he's like, I guess the point that you're trying to go after is that you want to have a job that you don't feel like you have to escape from.
Oh, definitely.
And I definitely think I need to get better at enjoying the breaks and enjoying the time off. But, I mean, as I think probably you guys as well, it's like when you really love what you do and you're driven, you don't want to spend too much time away from it.
Nat, you're in exciting time leaving employment to do your own thing. How are you feeling with all that stuff?
Confronting question.
Yeah.
How am I feeling? Pretty terrified, to be honest. The last few months I've taken sabbatical just to like help process and take the time to slowly get myself started and pursuing freelance work. And it's been kind of shitty, like surprisingly. I was like, I had this idea in my head where I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be drinking margaritas every day. And like... But
what do we want to describe that as?
That's someone moving.
It's a squirrel.
They're loud over here. They're really loud.
So so it was the expectation versus reality. What was the biggest shocker, do you think?
I think the biggest shocker to me was how much I'd been ignoring my own personal self needs, and I'd been using a career to kind of plug a hole and distract me from actually spending any time at like assessing and checking in with myself mentally, emotionally, like seeing like how I'm feeling. I don't think I've properly done any of that work or given myself that kind of attention ever. So without a career or like work day to day to like plug that hole, it became very confronting very quickly. But I've become like, I mean, I'm not just saying this, I've become really grateful for this period because, you know, at first I hated it and I was like, this fucking sucks. I'm so bored. I feel completely lacking in value. I feel useless, especially when like Matt's been like so busy. It's almost like heightened that, but yeah, I'm super grateful for this period to like just focus on myself and like feel like what I want and what I need. I think it's really important.
What Americanism have you employed, Nat, in terms of like coming from Australia 5 years ago and seeing how they operate here and seeing how you're entering into that freelance world now? What is one thing you think you need to bring that might not have been, you know, encouraged back home?
I mean, I don't know. Because like to be honest, I really like almost fetishize like, and I really miss Australian working culture. So I think personally,
what is it? How do you explain
it's
that?
It's just like
lazy.
No, it's like balance. It's actually
you actually have
like,
time for a fetish.
Yeah. Let's be honest. It was a weird word to use, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was transfixed on that word.
Yeah. I was stuck on it as well.
And so arrived in New York, and I mean that's the opposite of that.
Yeah.
Were you, when you were entering that space, were you looking at the Australian work culture as being a bit soft, or did you always have respect for the way Aussies sort of did
it? It's weird though, because like, it's weird because Aussies are really like, work hard, play hard, get in, get the job done, get out, and like, get on with your life.
Yeah.
Whilst I feel like, and I'm obviously generalizing here, I feel like there's a real value and pressure to be at work, like, for an insane amount of hours. And it's the presence at work which matters more than the actual work that you put in. And so, you know, often sometimes I'd look around and people were on YouTube until 2 p.m. in the afternoon, and then they'd start work and then they'd gloat about how they stayed at work till 10:30 p.m. Which, like, it's just not, you know. And then it's just like there's a very independent style of, like, an independent worldview here. So it's like instead of, you know, and I don't know if Americans would agree with this, but you know, because everyone always touts the importance of team and blah blah blah, but like Aussies, there's a lot of camaraderie, and it's natural, but with Americans it's very independent focused, so I found it really hard to like invest in a team and not feel like I was necessarily getting that kind of energy back. So you know,
a lot of like stay in your own lane.
Stay in your own lane, and like just not a lot of like Not even like crossing lanes to help each other either. Yeah. It was just kind of like, oh, I can see you're sinking. That sucks. On with me. Like,
yeah.
Is it the ladder climbing mentality? Like, I'm on my ladder, so I'm not helping you, bro.
Yes. Super, super, super competitive. Mm. Yeah, yeah. It's like very dog eat dog. Of course, this is this maybe even more so in the industry I was working in, like in advertising probably. But at least when I worked in advertising in Sydney versus working in New York and LA, I see that as like real stark differences across companies that I've worked in.
Mm. Diavella, with your having an employee, is this a first employee, Oscar?
Yeah, and this is if our first week.
Uh-huh.
Just got finished up.
What are you trying to bring from a cultural point of view to having a team?
Culturally, I mean, it's interesting because when you're talking about two people, it's more of like a relationship than a culture. Mm. Like, it's not like a full team, but I think it's something that I'm like learning, and I think I was very nervous in the beginning because I think I put a lot of pressure on myself and I wanted to make sure that I was showing up in the right way and I wasn't like letting my own internal stress or overwhelm about certain projects kind of reflect that dynamic and put it on them, and also making sure that I'm there to teach and help them grow and give them an experience like it's like a big deal for somebody to leave their job and to come work for me full time, and I don't take that lightly, so I want to make sure that they're happy and that they're getting what they expected out of that position. So I mean, culture is something to be defined, I think, as we get moving and maybe as like I bring on more people onto the team, but yeah, just trying to do my best.
Aren't we all? Well, we better go so that we don't run out of petrol.
And you can get your car out of the car park.
Yeah. It's a daily talk show. Nat, are you announcing the name of your business? Can you say what it's called?
I can yet.
Might as well.
Well, no, because I'm still working on it. But I'll plug an Instagram handle.
Oh, yeah. See the name. Great. Do you guys know the name?
No, I don't know it yet.
Do you know the Instagram handle?
No, it's not concrete.
The name is...
No, oh my gosh.
It's not concrete.
But I'm sure there'll be an announcement probably within the next... Actually, definitely within the next month. So check out at yumyumporkbun on Instagram.
Great.
Thanks.
And you can find me. No, you can just go on.
Great. It's the Daily Talk Show. Hi at thedailytalkshow.com is the email address if you want to send us an email. Also, while you're following Nat on Instagram, feel free to screen grab when you're listening to the podcast and share so we know we can say thanks. Otherwise, see you tomorrow, guys.
See you guys.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.